of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, we're going to consider today verses 1 to 6 on the subject, the provision of divine wisdom. Now chapter 9 brings the first division of the book of Proverbs to a close. It summarizes all that has gone before under two invitations extended to the simple. Now the simple are persons of undecided views and therefore susceptible to good or bad influence, either by wisdom or by folly. The wording of these invitations is similar, but the contents are vastly different. Wisdom offers life, but is silent about enjoyment. Folly offers enjoyment, but says nothing of the death that must certainly follow those who go after the ways of foolishness. Wisdom is portrayed as a virtuous woman who prepares well for her household. Folly as a vicious woman who persuades wickedly for her victims. Now, in this passage, we're going to see three things: wisdom's preparation, wisdom's invitation, and wisdom's exhortation. So let's read now, chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, and crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. First of all, verses 1 to 2 speak of wisdom's preparation. We read, Wisdom hath builded her house. Now, in the Hebrew text here, the word wisdom is in the plural. Plurals are used in Hebrew frequently to speak of intensity, of majesty, of excellence, of sufficiency, or of abundance. In this case, it indicates majesty and excellence. So here is profound wisdom speaking. Wisdom in the fullest sense. Wisdom in all of its perfection. And of course, as we've already pointed out in these chapters, chapter 8 and 9, wisdom is a term used for none other than the second person of the Holy Trinity, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the full embodiment of all wisdom. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. So this speaks of the Lord Jesus. Wisdom. Wisdom hath builded her house. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verses 3 to 6, the Word of God tells us that the Lord Jesus is the builder of the house of God. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said to Simon Peter and the other disciples, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the Word of God then teaches that the Lord Jesus is in the process of building his church, this part of the house of God. And, of course, he's doing this by sending forth messengers throughout all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. But our text goes on and says in chapter 9, verse 1, she hath hewn out seven pillars. The church of the living God in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 is defined as the pillar and ground of truth. So the church is first the guardian or custodian of truth. Second, it's the citadel or stronghold of the truth. Third, it's the defender of the truth against all the enemies of God. And fourth, it's the publisher of the truth throughout the world to the glory of God and the salvation of sinners. So the church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and ground of truth. Now the word seven in this verse, which says she hath hewn out her seven pillars, is the biblical number of perfection. And there are seven great pillars of divine truth related to the once delivered faith or the body of Christian doctrine, which centers in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those seven great pillars are these: the virgin birth of Christ; second, the virtuous life of Christ; third, the vicarious death of Christ; fourth, a victorious resurrection of Christ; fifth, the vindicative exaltation of Christ; sixth, the vital session of Christ; and seven, the visible return of Christ. On these great seven pillars rests the great truth of the faith once delivered unto the saints. Now, there are many facets of that faith. There are many things related in the faith of the Lord Jesus. But the faith, the Christian faith, is that summation of Christian doctrine as it centers in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And every facet of truth is related some way to these seven great pillars of the truth of which the church of Jesus Christ is the custodian. If any of these falls, then truth fails. But thank God, these seven pillars are soundly established and secure. Now, also in this passage, we not only read of the preparation by pointing out the building of the house, but in verse 2 we read, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. In other words, wisdom has prepared a sumptuous feast. Now, we read in Psalm 23:5 regarding the Lord who is the shepherd, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And our Lord Jesus Christ, after his having fed the 5,000, in the gospel as recorded by John chapter 6 and verse 27, says to those who sought him, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And then in verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And then again in verse 48, we read, I am the bread of life. Verses 50 and 51, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And verse 63 indicates that our Lord Jesus is speaking of a spiritual appropriation, not actually eating his literal flesh and blood. For he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. That is, they are spiritual, and they are life, or life-giving. And so our blessed Savior here speaks of a table that is sumptuously prepared and furnished for believers as they spiritually appropriate the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And so wisdom hath prepared the table. And sumptuous is that feast indeed for those who dare by faith simply to feast on the riches of God's grace as we dwell beneath His sheltering wing. Now, verses 3 and 4 speak of wisdom's invitation. 3, 4, and 5. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. The three things relative to the giving forth of the invitation. First of all, it is sent forth in verse 3a. Wisdom hath sent forth her maidens. Our Lord Jesus Christ has dispatched His disciples into all the world to preach the glorious gospel and invite sinners to the blessed feast of salvation that's offered in Christ. But not only so, wisdom's invitation is shouted out in verse 3b. She crieth upon the high places of the city, publicly proclaiming that great message of salvation. And then verse 4 speaks of selected guests. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And for him that wanteth understanding, she saith. So the simple, the persons of undecided views, those who are susceptible to good and bad influence, those who are careless, those who are thoughtless, they are the ones who are urged to accept the message and come to the feast. And then not only the simple, but those who want understanding. That is, those who are without even a prepared heart, yet they're willing to learn. And so the message is sent forth to selected guests, shouted out to them, and those guests are urged to come into the banquet house of our Lord and by faith come to know Him as Savior and feast upon Him for the sustenance of life. And then in verse 5, there's the sumptuous banquet again pointed out, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. Yea, the Lord Jesus' flesh is meat indeed, and His blood drink indeed. Yea, He is the living bread to be appropriated by faith. And then in verse 6, there's wisdom's exhortation. First of all, to forsake foolish companions. Forsake the foolish and live. Now, the foolish are the same as the simple. It's a plural here. Persons of undecided views. Persons who are susceptible to good and bad influences. Persons who are thoughtless and careless. Now, forsake those. Why? Evil companions corrupt good manners. But not only forsake foolish companions, but follow the way of understanding. And go in the way of understanding, he says in verse 6. Understanding is insight, discernment. And the proper understanding, the way in which a person is to go, is to perceive the truth of the gospel as is set forth in the person of the Lord Jesus and turn to Him as Savior. So, dear friend, will you not heed wisdom's invitation to come to the banquet feast and feast upon the Lord Jesus Christ as you receive Him as your Savior from sin and as you by faith appropriate the blessed message of divine truth?
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.